From the Diocese of Gallup, welcome to Crozier Cast, the podcast with your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. And today, we wanted to talk a little bit about, it's kind of a relevant topic in the news, but it's also just kind of a general theme. We wanted to talk a little bit about the church and Catholic and Christians' attitudes, or, you know, how we should have attitudes towards racism, like whether we encounter it, in fighting it, all these things. And it was sort of kicked off. I mean, it's a hot topic, but also recently, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops formed a new committee. Correct?
Sure. The USCCB established an ad hoc committee on racism itself, and which is great. And this was a move done by, I think, initiated by the president of the conference, which is Cardinal DiNardo of Galveston, Houston, and then the I think approved through the executive committee. And so this is, I think, it not only is it a very good thing, but it's a very timely act too. So I'm really happy to see the Bishops Conference moving forward in a positive way. It's a difficult topic, a difficult subject. There's a lot of pain, I think, involved for many people, especially people who feel marginalized. But I think it's a positive move on the part of the bishops. We don't want to, you know, we want to be proactive. We don't want to always just simply react to things. We want to get out of ahead of things and hopefully lead the way.
Right. It looks like part of that too. This is a very much an ongoing thing. Like, this isn't just sort of a quick response, but it's going to be a permanent fixture, it looks like, especially because they mention here that there is a letter coming out, a pastoral letter on racism, and it says it's anticipated for 2018.
Yeah, it's a committee letter, or it's coming out of a committee, and the committee that's working on it is out of cultural diversity. That's a committee that will come out of, it's a primary work's being done, one of the ad hoc committees, or not, I'm sorry, one of the subcommittees of the cultural diversity committee. And then eventually, when it's completed, it will go before the body of bishops, and then the body of bishops will vote on it, and then it will go forward from there.
Right. And it looks like it says too that even 40 years ago there was a letter. This was probably in the middle of the civil rights movement. So this is something that the bishops, like you said, it's not just a quick reaction, but this is something that the church has sort of always been interested in.
It is. The church has always had a very, very strong voice in this, and you know, people of faith. I think this should be central to us. That we're not giving into what you know really is the sin of racism, that we're not giving into that. And you think about in the United States, the great champion of for civil rights, especially in relationship to race, was the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he was definitely a man of faith, and his faith is what propelled him forward. His faith in Christ is what propelled him forward. And the work that we do, our faith in Christ, is what moves us forward as well. So we're always going back to that shining example of Dr. King, and we're always looking to him, the example that he set for us, because really at the heart of everything he did was the virtue of love.
And I mean, this is something that it's so easy to, you know, as humans we are, of course, very, very emotional creatures. It's so easy to sort of react to this very emotionally, or, you know, immediately have a very strong reaction. So what is, I mean, if we encounter this day to day, or we simply see this on the news, what are some productive ways to either talk about racism with, you know, maybe our kids or our families, or if we actually encounter it, how should we react productively?
Well, I think that's a good question. And I think some of the examples that we're seeing are not the way to react, and that is with hatred, that's with anger, that's with violence. You know, violence begets violence, anger begets anger, hatred begets hatred. It goes nowhere. And I think the example that we always have to start with is the example of our Lord. Look at how our Lord responded to hatred and violence and anger toward him. You know, he didn't return those things. You know, our Lord tells us to turn the other cheek. You know, if you're struck on one, turn the other cheek. But what he did was he countered hatred, anger, and violence with love, the virtue of love. And the greatest act of love that we see is obviously that example of our Lord on the cross, where he goes to the cross, he pours out his life on the cross for the sake of the world, for everyone. Not every person who's ever lived is living and will live, and regardless of race or it just, that was the example of our Lord. And even on the cross, we think, even that prayer, that beautiful line that he says to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's a beautiful act of love. That's not returning hatred, anger, and violence with the same, but that's countering it with love. And that's what we're all really called to do. The parable that really comes to my mind when I think about all of this is obviously the parable of the Good Samaritan. And, you know, prior to that, our Lord is talking about the greatest commandment, you know, how we're called to the love the Lord our God with all your heart, all your being, with all your strength, and all your mind. And then he says, you know, the second is like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so when they're asking in these questions, the scholar of law is asking his questions, you know, he pushes Jesus a little further. He says, okay, then who is my neighbor? And our Lord gives us a brilliant answer. I mean, why wouldn't he give a brilliant answer, right? He was truly divine. And so he gives this brilliant answer in the form of a parable, and he does that with the Good Samaritan. So speaking to a Jewish audience, he talks about the man who fell in with robbers and was left for dead. And then along comes two people, one a priest and one a Levite. And as Jesus points out, ultimately in the story, they were not neighbor to him because they ignored him. Because he was not of them. And then along comes a Samaritan, and the Jews and the Samaritan, I mean, there was this hatred between them. And the Samaritan is the one who stops. The Samaritan is one who tends to him. And the Samaritan even is one who goes that extra mile for him, making sure that not only is he taken care of at that time, but making sure that he's taken care of in the future. And, you know, Jesus tells the story to let the person know that this is your neighbor. It doesn't matter the race of the person, doesn't matter the beliefs of the person, the religious beliefs or not. None of these things matter. It simply matters your neighbor is the person who is created in the image and likeness of God. And we're all created in the image and likeness of God, and we know that when we go back to the very first book of the Bible, when we go back to Genesis, when God says, "Let us create man in our image, let us create him male and female." And God does this, and so we're all created in his image and likeness. So really, that the foundation of it all, to be able to see our brother and sister for precisely who they are, I'm created in the image and likeness of God, just as you are. I mean, that's central to it all. I think that gets lost in all of this, which is really sad. God doesn't want us to hate our neighbor, do violence to our neighbor, or be angry with our neighbor. At the heart of it, he wants us to love our neighbor. That's the commandment, love your neighbor. And it's right now what we see going on in the world, but especially here in our country, is really anything but fulfilling that commandment of love.
And, you know, just some good examples of this. I mean, you mentioned Dr. King, of course, is a example that everyone knows. Looking at actual saints in Catholic history or figures in Catholic history, one that comes to mind for me immediately is Saint Maximilian Kolbe, who was a priest during the Holocaust, and he was actually sent to the concentration camps, right?
He was, yeah. I mean, he was a Polish Catholic priest, and he was sentenced to imprisonment at Auschwitz, and at one time, somebody made a break for it, somebody tried to escape, and in order to control the masses, what they would do is they would line everybody up and just randomly go through. You know, this is how evil they were. They would randomly go through and choose people out to single them out, put them in starvation bunker. And this one point, a gentleman who was chosen just broke down. He was a husband, he was a father, he was a Jewish man, and he was sentenced to the starvation bunker, and out of nowhere, St. Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and said, "I'll take his place," and you know, he didn't say, "I'll take his place only if he's Polish," or "I'll take his place only if he's a Catholic," or none of those things. He saw who he was. He was his neighbor, regardless of if he were Jewish or the color of his skin, or regardless of that, he understood that we are all neighbors because we're all created in the image and likeness of God. And so I think Maximilian Kolbe is a great example, somebody we can look to and ask for his intercession, especially in wading through this, because here he was in the midst of all this violence and hatred in the last 100 years, some of the worst violence and hatred the world has seen. And he countered that with love. And I think that's always our point. That's our counter is always love. Mm-hmm. I think one of the great biographers of our time, he's a Catholic biographer, Joseph Pierce, has written some phenomenal works. I'm a big fan of his writings. He just put out a recent book called The Heroes of the Catholic Reformation, mm-hmm. which is a great book. I write a little blurb for it, so that's why I think it's a great book, too. But no, I think Joseph's a great writer. But he himself experienced an amazing conversion. And I would say if anyone who finds himself has all this racial hatred or hatred towards somebody because they're different, things like this, I think that anyone who finds himself in that, I would recommend Joseph's book. And it's a great book. It's his autobiography. It's called Race with the Devil, From Racial Hatred to Rational Love. And he himself was a neo-Nazi white supremacist and actually went to jail twice. I don't want to give away the end of the book, spoiler alert. But he went to jail twice. And it was through reading some just great Catholic authors, like G.K. Chesterton that he eventually was able to have a conversion of heart and turn from that racial hatred to that rational love. What is the first thing our Lord speaks about when he comes and announcing the kingdom? He calls for repentance. We're all called to repent. And so if we're giving into the sin of racial hatred, you know, what should we do? We should repent. Turn away from the hatred, turn away from the violence, turn away from the anger, and turn toward love. And ultimately, love is encountered in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and another story I was looking up is another story about two Christian preachers. There's one guy named John Lee Clary, who's a former, I think, Grand Wizard of the KKK, and then a black man who's also a preacher by the name of Wade Watts. Not the Marvel character, but actually he lived during the civil rights era. And what happened was the KKK member hated this preacher, and they would scheme with all these ways to try to get back at him. So one day, you know, they came to his house in Klan robes, and he came out and he said, "Well, you know, it's not Halloween yet, so I don't have any candy for you." And so they realized they couldn't get him. So the next day, next time they lit up a cross on his lawn, and he came out and he said, "You know, you fellas need any marshmallows?" And he was just, everything they did, he would offer love. And one, you know, the final thing they could think of was to go in and surround him in a diner and say, you know, "Black people aren't welcome here." And he happened to be eating like a chicken leg or something. And they said, "We're going to do to you what you're going to do to that chicken. So think real hard." And, you know, the Reverend thought about it for a second, and then he ended up just kissing the chicken. And people couldn't help it. They started bursting out laughing. And through this, you know, fighting this this hatred with love over and over and over, and he would tell them, you know, "I love you, Jesus loves you," all these other things. He finally, you know, ended up sort of converting them, and so this man who used to be one of the top members of the KKK became a Christian and a preacher himself. And it kind of reminds me of that, you know, what you're saying, just all these examples of, you know, acting with love, even in the face of, you know, danger or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a powerful example, modern example of that. I think about, you know, the wedding reading that we hear all the time, 1 Corinthians 12, and then in chapter 13, St. Paul's beautiful treatise on love. And one of the things that he says, if I have not love, what am I? I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal, that's just irritating. And it really goes nowhere. It just kind of irritates people, puts people off. And I think a lot of this anger and this hatred and this violence and just what so many people are giving into right now on both sides, there's anything but love there. But if we kind of stop and we pull back in a second, we say, well, what should I lead with, right? What's my first card to play? My first, my second, and all my cards to play should always be love. Always be love, because love counters everything. Love trumps all things. And I think that should be our approach. That's a beautiful guy. I hadn't heard that story about that preacher, but that's awesome.
Yeah, and then there's another one. I think it was a link that we shared, and we can link to it. You know, a man who ultimately, like not directly, but ultimately had something like 200 members of the KKK give up their robes, and he just did it consistently through sitting down with them, getting to know them. He would play pool with them and eventually, you know, play music with them. Eventually, they couldn't reconcile their views with the man that they knew.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's this just conversion, you know, conversion through love. And it's hard. You know, I think it might actually be harder to love someone or forgive them. You know, you don't have to like them, but to actually act with love than to react with violence or, you know, violence of words and things like that.
Yeah. So. Just an angry shout match. Love should always be our play. And I think it's one of the things you're getting at too, you know, to have a good constructive dialogue. And when we're yelling at one another, and when we're just simply holding up signs at one another, and we're just being angry and mean-spirited to one another, there's no room for dialogue. You know, you're trying to shout each other down, and that doesn't respect the other. That doesn't acknowledge the other as created in the image and likeness of God. And really, that doesn't see the other as neighbor, which Jesus says, again, in Luke's gospel, chapter 10, how we have to view everyone as our neighbor.
And we can add in some personal experience, too. I mean, as the bishop of a very multicultural diocese, what are some things that you try to do every day in your ministry? As you know, we have so many different cultures here of all kinds, people from all backgrounds, parts of the world. So how do you go about that, you know, as the shepherd of the diocese?
Well, that's a good point. We, in our diocese, we have of any diocese in the United States of America, we have the highest percentage of Native American peoples of any diocese in the United States. And so we have a very high concentration of Native American peoples, different tribes. We can kind of try to throw them all under the same blanket, but different tribes, but they're all Native American peoples and distinct tribes, I should say. We have a lot of people are Hispanic, Latinos, a lot of people who are like myself, mostly Western European, white. We have African Americans, we have Asians, we have all sorts of different people from different cultures, different ethnicities. And so, as I kind of going back to what I said before, the card you always have to play first is the card of love. And what is love? What love is willing the good of the other. So as the bishop of this diocese, you know, my mission, my desire is for every person in this diocese to come to a deep and intimate encounter with Jesus Christ, because Christ is the one who leads us to eternal life. Christ is the one who calls us to repentance. Christ is the one who calls us to love. Christ is the one who calls us to see our brother or sister as neighbor. So that's always my lead. But also to acknowledge that we have different cultures, different peoples. We don't want to, you know, not acknowledge something that's there, a reality that's there. You know, these are things that are good. This is how God's created us. These are good.
Yeah. And I mean, again, we can link to this in the show notes, but we have all these different stories about Pueblo feast days, St. Catherine's feast day, all these things where, you know, there's the holding of the traditional Native beliefs and culture, and then also the blending of, you know, Catholic belief and culture, which in many ways comes together just beautifully. You know,
sure, we have a big one coming up. And I don't know if we'll air this before or after, but on September 2nd at Sky City at Acoma. That's where our oldest church in our diocese is. It was built in 1629 at San Esteban del Rey, St. Stephen the King. And we'll have their feast day. And the very first thing we start off with is Mass. And then at the conclusion of Mass, we have a beautiful image of St. Stephen. And the people will process this image throughout the entire village, blessing the entire village, concluding at the end at a shrine that's set up. And then I'll give a final blessing, wish everyone a happy feast day. And then the dancing will start. And the dancing will go on all day long. And it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. So we're able to see that in our own diocese.
Yeah. And I wish we could share pictures, but that's also part of it. In a way, I don't, because that's another thing that we see is to respect the culture. And many times, these native beliefs are so sacred that actually photographs and things aren't allowed.
Yeah, it's poor form. Yeah. If you want to see it, you have to go.
Yeah.
And that's what I would say. If you want to see it, you need to go. And the hospitality of the people is absolutely off the charts. You'll never see anything like it. It really is amazing. It's really gospel-based hospitality.
Right. Okay, well, I think we're kind of coming up in the home stretch here. So, I mean, since this is kind of a hot-button topic, I mean, we could talk about it for forever probably. But is there anything that you'd like to add to sort of tie everything up today?
Well, I'm excited what the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops is doing. I think this is a great move by the conference to establish this ad hoc committee and placing a very, very good Bishop Murray, George Murray, who he himself is a Jesuit, but he himself is also African-American, well-spoken. He's held positions of leadership within the conference in the past, and so I can't think of a better man for the job. So I'm very, very excited for what the conference is doing. And I'm grateful for Bishop Murray for saying yes. So I think this is very important. You know, I gave that example, I think, of Joe Pierce's book on his autobiography. I'd say anyone who's struggling with this should read this book. It's a beautiful book. It's all about conversion. It's a story of conversion. It really, he's almost like a modern-day St. Augustine, whose feast day we celebrate today as we record this.
Yeah.
So I think that would be something to do. But then all really at the heart of it is, you know, lead with love.
Yeah.
And love is always willing the good of the other.
And that's even what Mr. Pierce mentions, too, in this article that we can link, is whenever he encountered hatred from an opposite viewpoint, it just fueled his own. It's kind of a vicious cycle because you almost feel justified or righteous. But it was finally that, you know, ever the unstopping, you know, just gentle love that someone might show him is finally what brought about that conversion.
Yes.
So it's a good article, yeah. Okay, well, I'm sure we can talk about this again when the new pastoral letter comes out, maybe break it down a little bit for people. But until then, this has been Crozier Cast with your host, Bishop Wall. Bishop Wall, thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you, and God bless. Thank you.